Teresa Munoz, alcoholic. Thank you very much, Lori, for asking me to do this. And I want to thank Sharon for asking me to come with her and Nancy. And I want to thank this meeting for having me. And I want to welcome the newcomers. I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what you're thinking or if you're thinking at all. I know when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I truly did not want to stay here, but I was surrounded by people. I didn't know that I could just walk out the door. And but I just kept coming back because I heard this after I came into AA, because I always wondered, why did I stay? And as I've heard before, I had no other idea. I had no, you know, I had no friendly direction basically either. And I felt safe. I didn't use that word for years, but I knew that I stayed in the seat because I felt safe. Anyway, I'll just tell you a little bit about my childhood. Basically, I just want to say three things. First of all, I came from a good family. I did not come from an abusive family at all. In fact, I never said my first cuss word until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have to say that I was brought up Catholic, so and I have a sister who's 1 year older than I am. And my father and my mother, they were hard workers. My father never went past sixth grade. He was from Mexico, and he didn't have a great education, but he achieved a lot. He accomplished a lot. He worked hard. He was my hero, and that's one important thing I want to say about my childhood. I did not even know this until I wrote my second inventory to realize how important my father was in my life. But I was a little tomboy, and I used to play with the boys on the block because I figured if I played with the boys on the block, I'd be as strong as they are. And Superman, I wanted to be like Superman, where I can't get hurt, but I can save the whole world, you know, that kind of thing. And anyway, I played Cowboys and Army, Cowboys and Indians and Army and Cops and Robbers, you know, and I was always the robber that was caught and put in jail. I was always the Indian shot down. I was always the, you know, the Japanese or the German that was shot down. And you young people, we were in war with the Germans and the Japanese once upon a time. But and I could not figure out why. And my sister finally told me, she said, "Don't you realize you're a girl and there are guys?" And I couldn't figure that one out. And that stayed with me for a long time. My sister also played with the boys on the block, but her idea of playing with the boys on the block and mine were two different things. But anyway, I was born in Santa Paula, California. We moved to Los Angeles. My father bought a liquor store. This was the second liquor store. So there was a lot of drinking going on. That was the third thing I want to mention about my childhood. There's a lot of drinking going on, but there was no bad things. There are no cops coming in to break up fights. There were a few little arguments here and there, but mostly it was a lot of food, a lot of laughing, a lot of talking, a lot of dancing. And I just remember that from observing the adults. So anyway, we came to Los Angeles. I went to Catholic school. I entered the convent after high school. And so I wanted to still save the world, basically. And so I entered the convent, and I did my training in Santa Barbara, and then I went to Palos Verdes, and then I was sent out to teach first grade. And this is important because when I was given 54 first graders. That's a lot of little babies that were literally 6 and 7 years old. In those days, even kindergarten was not even mandatory. So nowadays, it's preschool and everything else. So I was given these little kids, so I spent my day trying to keep them in the desk. But anyway, it was during that first year that I drank. I had my first drink. Now, a lot of people wondered, said, "Well, yeah, you entered the convent, so you had to stop drinking." And I said, "No, I entered the convent. That's when I started drinking." I firmly believe, I don't want to have an argument with anybody, but I firmly believe I was one of those alcoholics that was born an alcoholic. And it was just a matter of time before it caught up with me. I firmly believe that. Because if anybody really wants to stop drinking and be away from alcohol via rules, because we had rules in the convent, and you want to be isolated, the convent's the perfect place to go. But alcohol found me. It snuck under the door. It found the crease, the crack under the door, and found me. I'm just going to mention a little bit about my drinking, not a whole lot, because I did a lot of my drinking in private. I did not go to bars. I don't know if anybody drank with nuns in the bar and saw a nun fall off a bar stool. I don't know. But I never drank in bars. I drank in the convent, in darkness, literally. I didn't have money. I took a vow of poverty. I used to steal from the convent. I used to, lie and cheat. I used to tell the first graders in religion class, God loves you, but don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. And I was doing all of that. I was beginning to feel like a bad nun. I was feeling like a dirty nun, to walk around with that guilt the whole time. I drank for 18 years. And my drinking did not improve socially. My idea of drinking is coming home from school, closing the door, kicking off my shoes, and we used to have a chair, and I made a little footstool. I'd get the footstool, and then I opened my closet, and I had suitcases. Our closet were pretty empty, and I had one suitcase inside the other where you zip on the side, so it zipped the first suitcase, zipped the second suitcase. Inside of that was a brown paper bag taped with masking tape, untaped that, then tied in a plastic bag, untied the plastic bag, unscrew, put it in my cup, which is probably wine, tighten the cap it, tie it with a plastic bag, put the masking tape on the paper, zip the first suitcase, zip the second suitcase, close the closet door, bring the footstool, sit down in my prayer chair, and drink. 20 minutes later, get the prayer chair, open the closet. I just keep going back and forth. And I'm not talking about a few weeks or a few months. I did this for 7 years, that kind of drinking. Towards the end, I just drank in the closet. And when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and I read about closet drinkers, yeah, I'm a closet drinker. So you could tell that, you know, my drinking was not very social at all. I had big pockets. You know, habit has big pockets. Take the rosary and the handkerchief out and keys out and go to the store. And we were given just a few dollars to buy, you know, our sundries, toothpaste and soap and whatever we needed. And I would save that for the toothpaste and soap. And I said, no, I can't do that. So I would buy the booze with that and steal the toothpaste and soap. I did a lot of that. I was caught, by the way. They took a picture of me, and I have a number. I didn't go to jail, but I'm floating somewhere out there in the universe. So, but anyway, I drank for 18 years, and I have to say that my drinking just had all those kind of episodes. And I was stealing, cheating, doing whatever I can. Then 1985, that's the year I got sober, January 5th, 1985. I had tried AA 3 years prior to that, and I went to half a meeting at a Lano club. And then another year later, the heat was on at the convent because the nuns were complaining they could smell alcohol in my breath. So I went to another half a meeting. And I don't think two half meetings in 3 years would keep me sober. And so finally, I called Father Terry Ritchie, and some people might know him, and he used to come and talk to the convents, and I talked to him, and he gave me names of three nuns, and I said, oh my, those poor nuns in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I called one. She told me to come. I prepared my defense, and so when I got there, she put me in the car with another newcomer, brought me to a meeting, and I've been here ever since. And that's totally amazing. And I have to honestly say that I'm so grateful for this program. I have to say, too, that besides working the steps, and you know what? When I first came in, I was very, very arrogant. I said, I don't have to worry about my life being unmanageable because the nuns take care of my life. I don't have to worry about being insane because my idea of insanity was my aunt being carried away to the mental hospital. I don't have to worry about the third step. You know, I give my whole life to God in service as a nun. I don't have to worry about the fourth and fifth step. I go to confession every week. I tell the priest all my sins. You know, and then the sixth and seventh, I don't have any character defects or shortcomings. Being late, I'll work on that one. But you know what? And then people owe me the amends, if my sister was only nice, if, you know, and so forth. And then the 10th step, I have to say that we have to say the Angelus at 12 noon. Oh, yeah, I said, and we have to think back in the morning, and whatever we've done, then we try to make the day right. We do that in the convent. Oh, I do that every single day. The 11th step, oh, morning prayer, morning meditation, morning mass, afternoon meditation, rosary lecture, evening I go on and on with prayers. Now, and then the 12th step, of course. You're here to save other alcoholics. I'm here to save the world. Now, I'm kind of making fun, but the bottom line is that was my attitude when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. People would pat me on the back and say, oh, you shouldn't have any problem with God. I said, no, not at all. But for 18 years, I was hiding from God. One of the reasons I entered the convent was because I wanted God to like me. And I thought that if I can do service, he will turn around and like me. At the end of my drinking, I was hoping God didn't even know I existed. I was hiding from him. I felt dirty. I felt bad. When it came to Alcoholics Anonymous, working the steps has actually convinced me, absolutely convinced me, that I am a human being that can still be of service. And also, after 10 years of sobriety, I left the convent. The nuns didn't kick me out, by the way. They wanted me to stay. But I have been honest with my God, another human being, and myself. And I knew that unless I changed my attitude, which is, you know, trying to have people like me, I couldn't stay and I couldn't living in the convent. But I also realized that everything that I entered the convent for, I have learned here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm just going to end with one last thought, and that is in 2001, my father died. But before he passed away, he was quite active up until a few days before, and he was in a coma for a few days. And I remember visiting him and saying, okay, Daddy, because he was my hero. I wanted him to hold me in his arms. When I was in grammar school, I used to look at all the pictures and albums of my father holding me. And my mom finally told me, because your father never held you. And I was in sixth grade at the time. And I kept that absolute secret. And when my father died, I still, deep down inside, still wanted that. And I told my father, I was hoping he'd hear me. I said, don't worry about the car. It's been taken care of. Because he worked hard for everything. He built the house. Business had 3 liquor stores. And by the way, after I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I said, what a waste. I didn't even get to use the alcohol. Anyway, but he was an achiever. He accomplished a lot. And so what happened is that I saw my father lying there. And I said, okay, I'll see you tomorrow, Dad. Came back the next day. I'll see you tomorrow. Came back the next day. See you tomorrow. Came back the next day. This particular day, it was a Wednesday. And I said, Daddy, I called him Daddy. Daddy, don't worry about the car. It's been taken care of. And he had a frown in his face. I said, don't worry about the house. It's been taken care of. The frown went away. Then I grabbed him, and I kissed him and held him in my arms. That, I left. And that night he passed. And the very things I always wanted, I had to go out and do. And that's what I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to thank all of you for listening. And I'm so grateful for the program. And I want to thank those that are close to me and having dinner with people here. The fellowship is just a wonderful part of AA. So thank you very much.